welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Allison Lucan is here.
Hello.
Allison, I actually turned the air conditioning on in my car today driving home because it sat in the sun and the black leather seats got hot and it felt awesome.
Were you not parked in the garage?
That's right. I parked on the street, but it feels like spring is coming a little bit, and that's when the games get important.
Gotcha.
Okay. News around the league today. Montreal Canadiens fire Claude Julien, which was a bit of a surprise, I have to say. 2 weeks ago, we were reading about, is this the best Canadiens team ever? We were reading, these guys are so damn good, it's boring. And now it's not boring anymore in Montreal. They have fired their coach, Claude Julien. Really good coach. I do not think he'll be out of work for long. So interesting news there. Blue Jackets with some interesting stuff today at practice. Andrew Peak, young defenseman, sent to Cleveland to get some playing time. Young Mr. Peak went about a year without a game. I thought he looked really good when he stepped back into the lineup, and it's sort of degraded since then. He had a rough game last night and played about 10 and a half minutes. I think they sort of lost confidence in him. He needs to go play and get some reads and some reps. But good news today in practice. Zach Werenski skated. Michael Delzato skated. No word yet. Both could play tomorrow night against Chicago. But if not back in the lineup, it sure appears that they're getting close. And some interesting stuff around these Blue Jackets. Allison, you watched the game last night, of course. Crazy affair. Blue Jackets down 2-0, 3-2, 5-3. They come back every time, and they end up losing in a shootout. Kind of a tough luck point. But I think compared to some of the recent performances, not an awful point either. And I think a lot of people watching that game on the Blue Jackets side after the first period, if you would have promised them a point, they would have said, we'll take it, because it looked like it was going to be a long night in the rink.
Oh, yeah. I went back to, for those who follow along, I went back to tracking the transition game live, since we know that's been such an area of focus or lack of focus for this group. And that first period was just abysmal. They did not even have double-digit entry attempts, let alone successes. But they turned it around. Not enough to win, but they brought it way back from where they started that first period. That first period was brutal.
Yeah, I think there's so many different ways to measure a performance. I used to love the old box scores before the, I think, 04-05 lockout. Where they would show where zone time was a statistic.
And it should be.
Yeah, and it was charted on every box score, and it was awesome. Even for the Blue Jackets, because those first 4 years, it was like, that's not good. The zone time was often an ugly number. Back when it was so awesome, Allison, in the early days of the franchise, when the fans would cheer and icing. And I don't mean that to belittle the fans at all. They were just proud of their guys for withstanding the barrage from the Red Wings back then, Nashville back then. They would cheer and icing. Anyways, several ways to measure last night. There were three offensive zone faceoffs for Columbus that entire period, which is crazy when you consider, I think there were 16 defensive zone faceoffs. That just tells you how lopsided the ice was. But then, Allison, they come out of the first period, or out of the first intermission, and they score in the first minute, and a strange thing happens. The puck is moving on both ends of the ice. The ice appears balanced, and a cloud appeared to have lifted. And John Tortorella was interesting on this topic after the game. So the big theme of the first few weeks of the season, few months of the season, has been a lack of concentration. They're not concentrating. And I think it dawned on him last night, they may be concentrating too much to the point of overthinking. Like, there was a play, I think it was Peak, skated the puck behind the net, and there's Jack Roslovic in the middle of the slot, exactly where he's supposed to be, exactly the issue that they spent almost all of Monday's practice working on. If there's Jack, he could have been doing jumping jacks in the slot, and Peak doesn't see him. It's not even looking at him, apparently, and pulls the puck back, skates it behind the net, and next thing you know, all hell's breaking loose. But then in the second period, they seemed much lighter, and the game had flow. So I've got some thoughts on this. You can't tell somebody to relax. You risk getting an elbow in the yapper if you tell someone who needs to relax to relax. It just doesn't work that way. How impressed were you? I didn't think you could do this during a game. How impressed were you that they were able to bring it all back together? They weren't perfect, not by a long stretch the rest of the way, but those last two periods were a stark contrast to the first.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly were. And, you know, you said this earlier when we were talking, and you asked John Tortorella about this as well, is you tell someone to relax and that's the very last thing they do. And I agree with that. But I also think, as I pondered it after you brought it up, there can be a flip side to that. Sometimes if we think about different words of it, if someone says, just slow down, take a breath.
Yeah.
You know, that can be something that works. Also, these are professional athletes who in the past, some of them have talked on the record about the mental training that they go through. These are people who literally have gone through training to learn how to release negative energy, release a bad event, release tension. So that is, in fact, a skill that I would wager quite a few of them possess. And then just on a pure colloquial level, honestly, after that first period, I don't know that they could see it getting much worse.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, and I'll be honest, it felt like the game was decided. It felt like it was just going to be a long 40 minutes left. Trudge through to the end. Let's get out of here. And so perhaps that, at a very micro level, you and I have thrown around ideas. You know, we had last season where the injuries kind of shook these guys loose. Was it just feeling like, well, the die is cast. Let's just go out there. That helped contribute to them being able to loosen up. I don't know. I'm not a professional athlete, but I think there can be flipped sides to this coin. And you'd love it if you could hear the real truth, right? Because it really is so fascinating to wonder what exactly happened in those 18 minutes or whatever between two periods.
Right. Yeah. So today they practiced, and today's practice was a hoot. It was a hoot. They did this drill, and I called a couple coaches on the way home from practice to see if this thing has a name. I'll describe it briefly, but man, was it fun to watch. So the nets are pushed to the blue lines, facing each other at the blue line. So just where they are on the ice, but moved up from the goal line to the blue line. So basically the neutral zone is the length of this ice that they've created. One team, the blue team, has four skaters. The other team, the white team, has three skaters, and each team has on their end of the ice, but way on their end of the ice, another skater. And the blue team with four skaters starts with the puck. The moment that the white team, three skaters, gets the puck, they have to send it all the way down the ice to their extra guy, who now can join the play. And the four skaters, blue team, have to go off when they lose possession, and three skaters come on. And this is how you keep it going. And another player, of course, reloads the extra guy on the white. So, and the coaches I talked to today, who, you know, they don't want to weigh in on John Tortorella's practices. That's not cool. But their thing was, this is how you work on things in a way that doesn't feel like you're working on things. This is wrapping. This is, putting your medicine, your dog's medicine in a meatball. So he's still getting the work in, but you're doing it with fun. And it's levity. Well, you're also doing some things that are going to make you better, but you're having fun with it. And the players seem to have a blast with it. They had a shootout at the end of practice. They did another drill in between. So what was interesting to me too is that John Tortorella was not there. He was not at practice. Still the coach of the team. But decided, you know what, I'm part of this, and I'm just going to be over here. And he was great afterwards. He said, you know, there are days I get sick of hearing me talk. And so he stepped away Ken Hitchcock did this years ago for a different reason. He was pissed off at the Blue Jackets, didn't think they were listening to practice, so he just didn't go to practice. And the players all showed up, and the players had to run the practice themselves, which is an interesting theory. But tell me what you think about that and the players and just getting a break from that voice that's always there.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I thought that was one of the most fascinating things he said. And I actually think it's really smart. I think it's, we talk about this in all kinds of leadership formats and different parts and different types of organizations, the value of a different voice, which can often be the value of an absence of a voice. And I think that, we've talked about this with Torts before. Sometimes when he talks about this team, he's also talking about himself. And was he too obsessed with focus? And is this his way of giving himself some space or creating some intentional relaxing, if you will, to not be on the ice, to not be right there and feel like you have to say something to a player or not even be able to say something to a player? He shared some additional thoughts, just an idea I'm digging around with him and the team about communication. And this is a coach who, for people can love or hate him, but who really focuses on the communication side and the connecting with individuals and with team side. And so I like the choice. I think anything different can awaken a group of people or even one person. And this was something different, not just in what they did on the ice, but who did it, who was there, and who wasn't there. And I like the move, 100%.
Now, let me pose it to you this way, too. Do you believe the move? In other words, we all know what we saw. It's true. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Is it – coaches do this kind of stuff, too. Tortorella would be among them. The players have heard just about everything they could possibly hear.
Yep.
As to why they're effing up constantly this year. And they are.
Yep.
They've been a totally different team from the blue line back. But as a coach, you have to have something each day that is an answer or the answer to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just show up and say, guys, I don't know what else to do. Right?
Right.
So I wonder if Tortorella, I mean, he's obviously comfortable in his own skin, and he's done this for so long. There's a confidence about him. He knows what he's doing. Does he allow himself to take it? In other words, put it on me. I'm going to let you guys have fun and not hear my voice. And if this is what you need to find levity and just have fun and play, if this is how you can say to yourself, it's easier now because this isn't there, or I'm not going to get corrected if I screw this up. It gives the players something different to latch onto, even if that's not really what it is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be that. I think it could be a couple things. I think it could be forcing the issue. One of the things I found really compelling, Torts was talking about Max Domi specifically, but yeah. We've talked about this in relation to Pierre-Luc Dubois. Is Torts said, once we see what you are capable of in the very best sense possible, we're going to expect that every single time. And so it could have been also an angle of, the answer isn't in us as coaches anymore. Go find it in yourselves.
Yeah.
Like be within yourselves and find a way to rediscover that. Like I said, I think it could be his own personal project. Just as much as it is for the players of providing some separation, providing a break, and not maybe showing his frustration to the players. I think it could be a number of things, but I don't think he just decided, I'm not going to go out there, Bradshaw, Brad Larson, you guys run this, you guys figure it out. I think this was an intentional thing that could have a variety of reasons, but my goodness, they're compelling.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And I would imagine as a coach too, like I think Seth Jones has been much, much better in recent weeks. So I'm not lumping him in with the rest of these guys, but you know, 2 weeks ago, at some point you're going to coach Seth Jones. You're the coach. He's the player, but you don't really need to spend time on the rudimentary parts of hockey with a perennial all-star like Seth Jones.
That's right.
And I'm sure at some point when you're drill after drill after drill, you just reach a point where you're like, you know, what the hell are we doing? You know how to get the puck out of the zone. Like, get the puck out of the zone.
Right.
And it's so much like you could just tell last night. The guys, they didn't trust what they were seeing. And I don't think you can coach that. Like, I don't think you can. You can't X and O your way out of that. And I think that's sort of the determination that was made. Like, my God, guys, like, it's just hockey. How are you not seeing this and seeing that instead? And how can, like, this is not, this Blackhawks team is not the 2010 Blackhawks.
Like, right.
They're not that great. But you would have thought that was a high school team playing an NHL team in the first period. Like, it was just totally overwhelmed.
Oh,
to
yeah.
The point where, like, this is ridiculous. Like, this isn't an X's and O's thing. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Just go play hockey. Like, stop thinking about, I'm silly, but all the stuff we just spent our time practicing on yesterday. Like, get it out of your head. Just do what you've done for the last 10 years that got you to this point. It's good enough. Just go be you. And again, they weren't perfect the rest of the way, but there's Kevin Stenlund skating the puck three zones. What? There's Bjorkstrand. There's Oliver Bjorkstrand. I found him.
Right.
The lines change, and it just suddenly springs to life. And they dominated the overtime period, kind of, mostly dominated. They had the puck the whole time. They could have won it three different times in overtime. But they carried play for the most part the last two periods. And I'm just fascinated now to see what it looks like on Thursday. And do they carry that play into Thursday?
I honestly have no idea.
Right. How could you?
This team is up and down, and I'm not going to use another analogy that's been used around this team before, but
toilet
you
seats
literally,
go up and down.
They do.
Yeah.
But so do roller coasters. So
true.
Do a lot of things.
Fair. Elevators.
Elevators, escalators, mm-hmm. steps, even.
Sure.
My hair in the 80s, who's to say?
Nice.
But yeah. But you just, you know, that's, and you know, that's the other wrinkle to this that we've not talked about, but it's this, the consistency side. When you, I wonder too, if it isn't so much about relax, but now they're too focused on being consistent.
Yeah.
That they felt roped into whatever each individual thinks consistent means. And that's thrown them off too. But they haven't been consistent. So here's the thing. If they can come out and play a good game, it's huge to see the rebound continue, because I don't think that's what this team has seen yet.
No.
Even game to game is, yep, it carried over. It's building. It's finally caught. Something's happening. I think that's what this group needs desperately.
Yeah. So last night, part of the turnaround was when John Tortorella just basically said, okay, the development of young centermen for the rest of this evening is firmly on hold. We've got to get a grip of this. And Foligno went between Line A and Bjorkstrand. Boone Jenner went, I think, mostly. Texier played some of the metal too. But Atkinson was on the other side of Boone Jenner. And Roslovic, I believe, played on the wing at times as well. That's when it took off. Now, this is a tricky thing, and John Tortorella addressed it a bit today. They have got to develop these guys as centermen. And to develop three of them, Stenlund, Texier, Roslovic, makes it impossible to hide one or shelter one. So you can't have a guy that you put out in comfortable positions only, with just sort of dipping his toe in the other heavy stuff. If there's three of them, you gotta just kind of play. And there's been a lot of lumps taken Roslovic's had some trouble with the defensive zone coverages. He's had a lot of trouble in the faceoff circle. Texier the same. What's the read here? They're 20 games in. They're 36 to go. I think this is a tough call, but does John Tortorella stick with Foligno and maybe Jenner in the middle and say, we'll worry about the development later? Of utmost importance right now is wins?
I think the answer is going to be clear in about 10 games.
Yeah.
Because I think that he's got to try for a balance. He's got to, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him continue to try to roll out at least one or two, if not all three on certain games, particularly Roslovic, game to game. Now, they are still going to try to win games, and we'll see changes mid-game like we saw last night. But if this goes underwater, it's going to shift, I would suggest, pretty strongly towards the development side, purely. Yeah,
and probably should. Probably should.
Yep, 100%.
But I think there's an obligation right now to save this season if you can.
100%.
And you look at the standings. The standings are tricky right now because the games are all over the place. The games played.
Yes.
I went through and figured out points per game, which could end up being how the NHL decides who gets in and who doesn't, if not everybody can play 56. Right now, Florida, Carolina, Tampa, and Chicago, by points per game, are 1-4.
What do you mean points per game? Why didn't you just use points percentage?
Well, it's the same thing. It's just sometimes easier for people to process. So Florida's at 1.53, Carolina at 1.47. Columbus, by this measure, is sixth. And they're behind Dallas because Dallas has played so few games. Excuse me. Nashville and Detroit are kind of off there. Nashville's really not that far behind Columbus if they get it together. The point is, the standings are tricky right now. And from what you believe, Allison, do you believe that the Blue Jackets are better than Dallas and Chicago?
Okay, hold on. I'll come back to that. Did you do this manually or did you do this in Excel?
Excel?
Did no. You seriously? You could have done this in like 5 seconds in Excel.
I did it the way I like to do it. I've got it right here. I'll take a picture and send it to you if you'd like.
How much time did it take you?
Oh, not long at all. I mean, I used I used a calculator, if that's cheating.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Yeah. Well, we're going to discuss this in a little bit.
Calculators.
Anyway, no, Aaron. Oh, there's so many more easier ways.
Are they better?
You're making my brain hurt.
Oh, wait till you see some of the other stuff I dredged up.
Oh, I've seen some of the stuff you do.
It's fantastic. Is Columbus better than Chicago or Dallas?
So, I don't know, honestly.
Yeah.
I cannot answer that question with authority. And I would also say this, I haven't seen a ton of Dallas. I've seen more of Chicago. And I would say that unlike other seasons, there haven't been a ton of games this year where the final buzzer sounds and I say, oh, the Columbus Blue Jackets didn't get what they deserved.
Right.
So you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
Seems on point right now for this team. Now, as you've talked about, this is a team that has turned it around in the past and they can always take off. But right now, other than the Carolina game with the goal that should have come off the score sheet, in my opinion, I can't think of many games where the team's been robbed of a result.
Right. And the tricky thing is, Dallas has played like 7 fewer games than Columbus.
Right, exactly.
Now, I think that's tricky on two fronts. It's tricky because it gives you, if you're Columbus, a false sense of security.
For sure.
But if you're Dallas, you're going to be fitting, if they get all 56 in, you're going to be fitting 7 extra games in the span of 36 games for the Blue Jackets. So you're going to be playing...
The schedule's murder.
43 murder. Games while the Blue Jackets are playing 36. That's crazy. And who knows what's left on the other side of that if you're able to get all those games in. Now, the league has allowed an extra week at the end of the season if they need to tack on for somebody. So that could be Dallas getting four games in that week while the rest of the league sits dormant and waits for the other teams to catch up. Who knows what it's going to look like. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is, and I drew this up old school too, whatever, Patrick Laine.
Yes. Heard of him.
Let's start with the two goals last night because, my God, wow.
exactly.
the one-timer on the power play is like, whew, that's what you've come to expect from him. It leaves the – like he doesn't – the swing force doesn't appear to be – it's impressive. It doesn't appear to be commensurate with the force of the puck coming off the stick. Do you know what I'm saying? It comes off harder than it looks like from his shot.
Yes.
It's something to behold. I kind of felt like the goalie felt like he had a pretty good read on it, but when he expected to be gloving it, it was like past his head. Yeah. Like it was that quick. But I was more impressed with the wrist shot. The second goal from the left dot where he walks in, Connor Murphy, good Dublin boy, sort of skates off to the side because I don't want to be in front of that shot if it's the big one. But I think he also wanted his goalie to see it. And Laine picks like a 3x3 hole in the corner of the net and just boom, throws it exactly where he wants to. That was amazing. Your thoughts.
And what I love about the kid is when he's asked about it after the game, he's like, yeah, you know, I don't really think about it that much. I just, that's what I do. It's just what I do.
I'm just really good at that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure many smarter people have done this already, but to dissect everything about what goes into that, the physics of his body, he's such a big man, the physics of the stick, where the flex hits in the stick, where the puck leaves the stick. It's just, and like you say, it's not like he winds up for this massive clapper and you're just expecting a bomb. Right. You just see it's him and you're like, here we go. Yeah. And there it is. Yeah. And there it's just, it's, you know, and I enjoyed Zach Werenski's comments on it today too. Just to be around it, not just to see it in a game and say, oh, he's really good.
Yeah.
You know, Zach Werenski called it one of the top three shots in the game.
Yeah.
It's something. It's something to take in.
And that second one, the wrister, he's looking right at the goalie. The goalie's square to him. There's no screen.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked him in the eye. And it's hard to do this because goalies are so big today. He looked him in the eye and beat him where he stood.
Yep.
And you go, whoa. Like, that just, my God. That just doesn't happen very often in today's NHL. But it is a sight to behold. Since Laine joined the Blue Jackets, let me be very clear about this. Since he joined the Blue Jackets lineup, this is not from the day of the trade, but from when he stepped in and played 10 games, 6-4-10, 3 power play goals. More impressively, the Blue Jackets power play in those 10 games, small sample size, granted, is 6th in the NHL at 29.2%. They scored 3 power play goals last night. First time they've done that, since November of last season. Also a loss, by the way. Your thoughts on just what Laine means to this team? I don't think we've fully grasped it yet because he hasn't fully integrated. But he feels like a point-of-game guy, and it feels like this team wants to be on the power play. Hell, it might be their best aspect of their game the first 20 games of the season.
I'm not even going to ask how you figured out this stat either because it's going to break my little heart. But don't tell me. I have to be careful how I say this because I'm saying it more simplistically than I think the answer is. But I do believe at this point with the team having tried literally everything on this power play for how many years that a lot of this was sitting between the ears of everyone involved in the dang thing.
Yeah.
And to just know that Patrick Laine is over there can release a lot of that. I think.
Yes.
I think they've looked crisp. I think they've looked more aggressive. I think they've been better at setting up. We'll consider the breakout a work in progress some nights.
Yes.
But yeah, I think he's a key. And if it's a mental key, if that's what it takes, because we're past X's and O's for that unit. We just are.
Oh, God.
Yes. And so if this is what it takes, on top of the fact that he is one of the most skilled power play shooters in the league, God bless. Go forward and be now a top 10 power play in the league.
Yeah. I think Brad Larsen became a much better power play coach.
Clearly.
With that trade.
Clearly.
With that trade, which is funny how that works, isn't it?
Oh, it's always that.
Yeah. And to your point, I wonder how much the power play is an extension of the mental paralysis we've talked about with this team before that shows up in certain ways. There's no, like we've said it before, they haven't had the high-end skills since Panarin left before Laine arrived. But there's some pretty damn good hockey players on this team. There's no reason the power play should ever have been the just complete liability that it's been.
Correct.
I mean, no excuse. And I think they overthought themselves with that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was on NHL on Sirius a few days ago, and they said, "What can the power play do?" And I'm like, they said, "What would you recommend?" I'm like, literally nothing, because they've literally tried everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to try.
Just play. Just play.
Holy shit, take a breath and go play.
Yeah.
To quote John Tortorella. Right. So
we've set this up in the press box. There's five of you.
Yeah. Do you know you have an extra player?
They
on
only
the
have four. Like, like this is where it should be fun. You can just see them knotted up down there.
Yes.
How much of that comes from the top? And I don't mean just Torts. I mean the assistant coaches. Brad Shaw's a pretty serious guy. Manny Legacy isn't, but he's not on the bench. Kenny McCudden's a breath of fresh air whenever you see him, but he's not on the bench. Jarmo Kekäläinen's a pretty serious dude. Is this organization just too serious?
Oh, my. Well, this is a question.
They're too intense? What a walk-off.
Wow.
Where's the levity?
We need Claude Noel. That's what we need.
Joy.
Find the joy.
Play with joy.
And for those of you who maybe weren't around the organization back then, this man was a gift. Was he the tree also? What tree would you be? Was that also Claude Noel?
Of course it was. Yes.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah. Okay.
A gift. But I would like us to revisit this topic next week. I would like to really think about my answer. Yeah. I want to really think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can never go wrong with some Claude Noel in your life.
No, you know what's great? Those were days where almost every game included a post-game yeehaw at a local tavern.
Yes.
And there is in every major city, a sort of a large late night bohemian scene. Many of them work in the restaurant business, and they didn't give a shit about hockey, but they heard the first Claude Noel press conference. They're like, this is my dude, man. Like, yep, he was some sort of seer, some visionary, and they latched on to him. And play with joy, man. Find your joy.
Play with joy.
Embrace it.
Yeah. What tree would you be?
If you were a tree, what tree would you be? I think that was originally a Barbara Walters question on 60 Minutes one time.
Of course it was. And of course that's where he got it from.
Yeah. 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 Claude's a beauty. And Claude is now, for people who care, is now a scout for, he's got the greatest job in the world, for the Devils. And his coverage area is California and Arizona.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, so I often get an out-of-nowhere bear hug from behind in Arizona, especially. Claude sneaks up, and he's still quite the quirky, blessed gentleman. Good dude.
That's awesome.
Good dude. So, Allison, anything else we need to get to? We've prattled on a bit here.
We have a wager, Aaron. We have a wager that we didn't know was even going to be supported by
the
subject matter at hand.
And I don't think it was, but go ahead.
Well, it was. clearly. So here's the thing. Some of our wonderful listeners may recall that a few years ago, I taught you how to take screenshots.
It was awesome.
Of your computer screen. Was it not life-changing?
It was work-changing.
Was it so rewarding? Did you feel like your work was more efficient, more professional?
Yeah, and I used it more than I ever thought I would.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, being honest.
Yes. Now, there has been a push from our dear Twitter friends for years.
There is no push.
There is too, I assure you. For you to learn how to thread tweets. And I had issued a challenge that each year, just one thing a year, I was going to teach you one technical tip.
Now, is this possible through TweetDeck? Because that's where I do my tweeting.
Aaron, yes.
Okay. That's a good question.
And you have pushed back on my attempts to move you forward in your technology understanding, which again would bring joy to your life. You could have had all these little wonderful stats you just cited today in seconds with the use of technology. So all I'm saying is one tip, I'm encouraging you to learn one tip, and we have placed a wager that if at least 20 listeners tweet at us, both of us in a tweet, that you need to learn how to thread tweets, that you will learn how to thread tweets. Am I correct in this wager?
And if 20 do,
yes,
I will.
What do I
bring to you? Guma candies, the legendary Licking County establishment, Gumas.
Yes.
And if less than 20 do, what do I get?
What do you want? Do you want me to bring? Do you want me to bring Buckeyes or cookies again? I can make some cookies. Cookies?
Yeah, something. Okay. Something nice. Yeah.
Now they won't. They won't rival your daughter. She's a tremendous baker. But I will do my very best.
I'll tell you.
Or maybe a cake. I'll bring a cake.
Right. You know what? Actually, next month will be 12 years on Twitter, which is just ridiculous.
Couldn't be a better time to learn something new.
Have I ever told you the shit I took for getting on Twitter when I was at the Dispatch?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, and look at how you've progressed. 12
years. 12
You've been learning.
Years.
Your Twitter use has progressed. Nah. And now it's time. It's now it's time for the next step.
All right, so
it's time to be a grown up on Twitter.
Oh God, Twitter! It's time to be a grown up and get off Twitter. Some days it feels
fair.
Yeah. Okay. So this lesson is to take place.
It will take place in the next couple weeks if we get 20 people have to respond by our next recording, which is next Wednesday, and you have to mention both of us in your tweet.
Yeah.
That you want Aaron to learn how to thread tweets on Twitter.
Okay, it's awesome that I'm not going to push this. Podcast I will be on
tracking
Twitter.
This.
I'm not going to share.
Oh, yes,
I'm not
you will.
Share the link on Twitter. Drive the
hourly.
Numbers down. Drive the numbers
hourly.
Down. Anything else to add?
Help me out, people. Let's
no
turn this ship
here.
Around.
No pandering.
Come
here.
On, help me out. Help yourselves out. Find the best Blue Jackets information all in one thread on Twitter.
Alrighty.
Thanks to yours truly. All right, that's all I have.
Nothing else.
I think that's enough.
You know, we should say Carson Meyer.
Oh, yes.
Powell, Ohio. Two goals in his AHL debut, his pro debut for the Monsters. That is tremendous. You talk about a kid who's been through a lot and waited his turn. Finally gets on the ice. It's been a long time since he played. And he pops in two goals in his Monsters debut. And Connor McDonald from Westerville, Ohio, made his pro debut defenseman, his pro debut the same night. He's on a PTO, I believe, with the Monsters. So good local hockey night for Columbus early
awesome.
This week. And you'll be reading more about that Sunday, I do believe, in the Sunday Gatherings notebook. So
fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for your ears. Thanks for your reading the website as well. Really appreciate it. And we'll be back with you next week. Take care.